You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Thursday, September, no, it's March, I'm out of it, March 23rd, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. I want to say I'm still drunk, but I didn't drink anything, so,
God knows. High on life.
Hey, we're high on life. You know what? The tournament's back. We got the Sweet 16 starting tonight. Tout Wars this weekend. We are also the champs of the universe, of the world. Feeling good this morning. What's up, Maddie?
I'm doing well. We are about 25 hours from the first NFBC auction tomorrow, 36 hours from the Tout Wars head-to-head. I am just like a kid on Christmas morning.
That's how I am about the tournament that's back, not the NFBC championships, Corey.
Yep. What's the deal, Greg? Hey, let me ask you, are we supposed to dress up today?
Yeah.
Who said, really?
Well, you knew this.
I didn't know you're
on TV this afternoon.
I'm an OG still, you know what I'm saying? But I see everybody's dressed up.
Well, yeah, we knew this. This wasn't a surprise.
This is in the email?
This is just what was in the previous email that now he didn't have to send a second email out because everybody knew already. Except for the fantasy executive, evidently.
Yeah.
But the fantasy exec is—he's representing. He has that style.
Well, you know what it is? It's that blue vest that he wears. It's just so good looking. I tell him this every time he wears it.
Thank you. I'd be alright, or they're gonna send me home.
No one's gonna send you home.
We're gonna send you to Macy's. We're gonna dress you up.
That's possible.
Oh, I get a Modell's gift card. Hey, what's the day? Today is 11 days opening day. Make sure I'm right with this.
You know what? I'm not George Kurtz. I won't correct.
Oh, thank you. Why is your microphone off, Greg?
I was sneezing. I didn't want everyone else to hear me sneeze. I was trying to be polite.
You do a better job than Scott.
So I shut my mic off.
Scott be like,
cough a few times.
You'd be like, Scott's microphone. That's the only time you talk into the mic is when you want to sneeze in it. Dumbass.
Guys, we're the champs.
Yes, the USA.
We are the champs.
We are the champions.
How about that? World Baseball Classic, Marcus Stroman. Six no-hit innings last night. Shockingly came out for the seventh, allowed a hit and said goodbye.
Yeah, I didn't see why he came out for the seventh. I know he had a no-hitter, but he wasn't finishing that game. And there was like a half hour in between that half innings. So if I was the Blue Jays, I wasn't too happy to see him go back on the mound in an 8-0 game.
Yeah, you know, it was... Like, obviously, they wanted him to go as far as he could with the no-hitter. Very, very cool. Marcus Stroman was just lights out. He was talking crap to Puerto Rico.
He better be careful.
He was. He was talking. He was had the swag working last
night. He was shimmying.
He was shimmying. He was fist pumping. I'm going to be honest with you guys. He probably rose up people's draft boards like two rounds last night.
That he did. The other takeaway from last night was how damn good Jose Berríos looked. That slide piece looked really good.
Hold on. So you say that Jose Berríos looked so good. The first inning.
Yeah, no,
he looked great. He looked electric that first inning.
Look,
and then the second inning, he didn't look as electric anymore.
I understand, but that's what people need to remember. He's not a guy you're drafting early. He's a late flyer that you take, and there is still promise. There is still promise with this kid.
I think there's promise, but now I'm worried it's going to end up in the bullpen.
I mean, if Minnesota does that, I mean, look, the Twins, sometimes you have to question what that organization has done. And Berríos is the future. He should spend no... I'd rather see him in the minor leagues than in the bullpen for them.
Yeah, but you saw it last night. So effective for one inning, like disgustingly effective. And the second inning he came out, and there were some control problems again.
No, I mean, you are right, but they need to start getting high upside arms in that rotation. And even if Berrios has to have some pain in the first half of the season, I think he will turn it around. I think he's a guy that come the second half. He had the experience last year. He got beat up. Let him take his lumps early. And I think he's just too talented, and it will win out.
Yeah, you know, it's possible. So let's start with Berrios then. Berrios, are you more comfortable drafting him now than you were before last night? Is that was one game that you saw on the biggest stage that you could possibly pitch on in March? Is that changing your mind, Jose Berrios?
As for the guys that I would put in his group, like say a Tyler Glasnow, I'd rather have Berrios. And he's a guy that, and not that he's going to move up my draft board that much. It's a guy that if I'm going to take as a late round flyer, or even if he didn't get drafted or he got cut early on due to struggles, he's somebody that I will continue to monitor and would pounce on quickly if he does have a good outing.
Corey, Marcus Stroman, as we said, six no-hit innings last night. He was unbelievable. We've talked a lot about him this spring because people that we spoke to aren't high on him because, you know, they don't believe a lot of what he does is smoke and mirrors, and the ground ball rate's not good enough, and it's the AL East, and it's Toronto. The biggest stage of his life last night, not his life because he was in the playoffs, he's in the ALCS back-to-back years here, but the biggest stage he can pitch on in March, six shutout innings, he's got the swag, he's got it all. Is Marcus Stroman rising your draft board last night?
I was thinking about that earlier today, last night also. I'm sitting there basically saying, I don't think you see a full inning, a full round or two. I think you probably see maybe a good 5 to 7 picks. I think the ADP pops in these last couple of weeks. He's another guy. We're starting to see flashes of it. Obviously, this is the stage where you're like, okay, Marcus Stroman is a player that has it. So I think, yeah, I'm in on it. It looks optimistic right now for Marcus Stroman. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out this week. But I don't think he goes as high as two rounds, maybe a full round. I see he got some beef with Alex Rios, though. Alex Rio?
Alex Rios, like the former Blue Jay Alex Rios?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's he got beef about him? What's that for?
Alex Rios tweeted, dude, at Marcus Stroman, don't be yelling F you from the dugout, then go hiding as fast as you could after you said it. Weak man. Hashtag weak man.
I guess Alex Rios on the bench for Puerto Rico.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Rios should just go away. The guy just dominated that team.
Puerto Rico
is this year's version of the Dominican Republic from the last World Baseball Championship. He shut them down. I mean, the guy no-hit them for six innings.
Yeah.
I mean, really. And as much as these countries like Puerto Rico, the Dominicans, they love to celebrate and show all the emotion. Marcus Stroman wants to do it, especially when he is on lockdown, more power to him. I'm proud of him for playing for Team USA. He was born here. Play for the team you're born in.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can get mad at Marcus Stroman. Stop. You didn't get a hit, damn it. You know what I'm saying? Alex Rio.
It's Rios.
Just having a good time. They be flipping the bat and acting all crazy. You know what I'm saying? Matt makes a good point. So there goes that. I'm happy for the Team USA, though. So shout out to them for the big championship in the WBC.
I mean, I'm happy that we won, and that's great. But, I mean, in all honesty, the previous three WBCs that we didn't win, we still have the best players. I mean, if we put that team together with our best, I think we beat anybody with their best.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably, possibly, you know.
Oh, look at this.
What are we looking at?
I just saw something. Latavius Murray underwent a surgery.
We knew that already. That was in Scotty's update, top of the hour.
I didn't hear it. I'm sorry.
You also saw, I think, the draft stock rise. It's very, very funny because it's one game. It's one tournament. It's a couple games. It's a couple of at-bats. Like, you're just judging by that, Nolan Arenado would drop out of the first round with his inability to get on base throughout this classic. He had four hits, I think, total.
They had him bunt.
I don't know. Did they have him bunt or he bunted on his own?
I mean, maybe he did it on his own, but I would think they had him bunt. I don't know. But, hey, the next at-bat, he got a hit, so maybe that was what he needed.
Maybe. You know, you hope so. You hope so.
If Arenado's there for me at seven, I'm a pig in shit, and I'm happy as hell.
There you go, right
there.
There you go.
Now, Brandon Crawford had, a seven-game hitting streak now to end out this classic. He had a big
Cowboys
game.
Team.
He had a big game last week. Is Brandon Crawford someone whose value is now on the rise?
I don't think it's going to rise too much. I just think Brandon Crawford is one of those solid guys late that you just put in your lineup, perfect middle infielder. You leave him alone. He plays over 150 games. He doesn't do anything fantastic for you, but he doesn't hurt you at all. And he's I mean, his defense is quite awesome.
Yeah, no question about that. Speaking of good defense, Javier Baez is good defense all on display last night, no doubt, with Team Puerto Rico, who was just stymied, man. They were just stymied by the U.S. en route to their first loss of the entire tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it was the Marcus Stroman show. I mean, Strorillo just shut it, locked it, kicked it. I mean, he was just dominant.
But Adam Jones should have been the MVP.
Yeah, who wanted to be in the MVP?
Stroman.
Stroman, well, I mean, he did pitch a couple of big games.
Yeah,
for them.
I know.
I mean, he had a no-hitter last night.
It's kind of hard. I mean, coming off that. Hey, look, in the championship game, he went 6 no-hit innings and, you know.
But people are going to remember this WBC for Adam Jones' catch.
Well, Adam Jones' catch, but, I mean, they're not going to remember Marcus Stroman in the championship game.
No, that's true, too. I agree.
You know, I mean, it's... I get what you're saying. Adam Jones was, I mean, he was a great ambassador for Team USA in the game of baseball. And I think the biggest takeaway for me from the WBC is how it should have expanded the viewership for baseball fans. The unfortunate thing was the starts of the game.
That's not going to happen. You know. Baseball is just not a TV-friendly game.
No, I guess not. I guess not. It's just long. I mean, last night there was drama, though. Like, last night, like, I was totally engaged. I'm somebody, admittedly, that I watched a couple of the early Israel games, and then I got bored. Like, it was on at 10 o'clock. I had March Madness. I had other stuff I was watching. I am not somebody that was tuned in. Like you, Matt, like, it was DVRing games. That was not me throughout this tournament. Last night, I was fully engaged. Like, there was nothing else on. All I did was, you know, I was working on the show this morning, and I was focused on the WBC.
Well, I think that it worked out perfect that the championship game was on that Wednesday night, because now the tournament's coming back, you know, Sweet 16, all that. So it for MLB, they had the center stage, and, you know, now tonight we could watch some really good hoops and get right back into the tournament.
Yeah, that's going to be
cool. And then draft weekend. So it's going to be a hell of a weekend.
I'm excited. I love it. I love everything about it. I'm excited.
You're excited about the weekend, you're saying?
I'm just the tournament. We got WBC chip locked up. We back to the tournament tonight. South Carolina's at Madison Square Garden. You know, Tout Wars, you know, which I'm in the fold. You know, it's the NFBC. It's a lot of stuff going on. So the fantasy executive is excited. I had a snap in my shorts.
No, Scott was here. He'd say that's a very small snap.
Yeah, he would say that.
But he's not. So
he's
not
here.
So we won't. Hey, on the program today, I want to continue playing ACDC. I had a lot of fun with that. A lot of random guys to get to. I have some football news. I have a funny basketball story that at some point will be up on Sports Grid once I find somebody to write it. And we begin today, after the WBC, after feeling like the champion, we're going to begin with a little talks on drugs. You know, the war on drugs will make its way to Roto Experts in the morning. Before we get to that, though, final thoughts, Matt Modica, on the 2017 World Baseball Classic.
They really, I don't think, could be... Everything was worked out in a perfect world scenario for the WBC. I know there were talks about this would be the last one. I doubt that's going to happen now with all the...
Marcus Stroman already said he'll be back four years from now to defend his championship.
Yeah, and USA winning, you know, maybe got more people amped up here. I think one of the things I took away was how good the Netherlands have gotten watching Team Israel. So, I mean, and hopefully Team Italy gets better. So it's expanding the game globally. So I'm just happy about that. And the games were fantastic.
Team Italy need Cardano.
There you go.
Yeah, you know, he used to play.
Mayone and Cardano on the show there.
He used to play a little bit, so they should put him down.
What's your takeaway?
Huh?
What's your takeaway of the WBC?
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was cool. I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? It's good to see the Baseball Olympics rocking. Everybody had fun. You know, the fans was involved. and we saw some good play. So I think it was a positive. There's no way that you can say, okay, this thing is not going to come back, because I think you finally got some traction on it. So hail to Major League Baseball and WBC. They did a good job with this event. So, and shout out to the champions, the Americans. We're going to do so much winning, you're going to get tired of us winning.
That's one thing Trump didn't lie about. So,
yeah. You guys got to be shocked, right? That like we haven't gotten a tweet that, see, I told you we'd win again. Like, it's probably not on his radar.
A little bit of trouble right
now. It's still early.
No. He's been up for hours. Do you think that... I'm not going to say this on the air.
No.
All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, it's time to talk drugs. Is everyone excited about that?
I am.
Okay. Corey is pleading the fifth. All right. Take a break. Back here on the Road to Experts in the Morning right after this. Back here, Road to Experts in the Morning. Time to talk about the war on drugs. Maybe the war for drugs. Matt, have you ever noticed that Corey's being like completely silent during this?
Yeah, Corey,
he's never really silent.
He's even stoic with the facial expressions.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I don't know what's going on over there to my left. No,
I'm just focused. I'm just locked in.
Well, you know how you can be more focused and more locked in?
How's that?
By taking Adderall.
I don't have a prescription.
No. Now, we've talked a lot previously, Corey, on the previous incarnations of this program.
Yes.
We talked about PEDs and we joked about steroids for fantasy experts. And we kind of came to the conclusion that taking Adderall would probably be beneficial to drafting. Like, it would just keep the focus. And, like, the drug of Adderall, I understand, like, laser focus in what you're doing. Is that your understanding as well?
That is also the understanding that I've had of it. Now, we've seen, obviously, members of the Seattle Seahawks get in trouble for this.
Well, a lot of NFL players get in trouble for it.
But specifically members of the Seattle Seahawks. We've seen other NFL players get in trouble for it. It is something that is specifically used by cornerbacks because, you know, it's hard to cover, you know, dudes like Dez Bryant and Antonio Brown and stuff like that. So the cornerbacks take it. It gives them their focus on game day, and, you know, they get in trouble for it. But I don't see I don't see what the big deal is. I need to learn more.
Before we go any further, I'd like to make a public service announcement.
All right, here we go.
To all the kids listening out there, hugs, not drugs.
There you go. I agree. Hugs, not drugs.
And now let's go further.
And, like, hugs.
Let's go back here. Now, Corey, we have someone that admitted yesterday on our show.
Yeah.
That he, quote, doesn't draft without taking Adderall, unquote.
He said that?
Well, live drafts, we'll go.
He doesn't have a live draft without taking Adderall.
I love it. I love it.
So, with that, Matty Moe, you how many live drafts would you say you do a season? Baseball season. We'll leave it there.
This weekend, I'll be doing 4, and next weekend, I'll be doing 4.
So, that's 8 drafts total. Now, how long does Adderall last here?
You know what? I'm really not sure. It's not something I take it on, like, a regular basis.
Sure. But so, you have 8 drafts. Will you be taking 8 pills of Adderall?
No. I'll take one...
For a day?
Yeah, for the whole day.
Yeah.
Just to be in the zone, in fuego.
Now, you have obviously done drafts without Adderall in your life, and you've done it with Adderall. What's the difference? For you, I mean, it's different for every person, no doubt, but what is the difference that you feel when you are taking it and when you're not?
I feel that, as you say, you are just so focused, like you say, laser focused. And for these type of events, I want to be on point. I'm a hyper, easily distracted kind of person. And I just want to be in the zone. I don't want to be distracted. And like I made the comment yesterday about the movie Limitless. It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It kind of gives me that kind of feeling. Like, you know, I can pretty much walk through a wall.
So here's the thing, right? This is my deal with this, right? And I get where you're going. See, you don't do it for the computer drafts at home because you can kind of have your focus in your crib. You're on your laptop. You're on your desktop. You got the door closed. You got your information. boom, right here, draft mode. But in the live draft setting, you got Tom from Pennsylvania, hey, what's going on? You got Jimmy from San Diego, hey, this is a good long time, man. You see you, it's noise, it's Manhattan, it's cars honking. Woman might walk in with nice rack, you know what I'm saying? That could take your attention a little bit, you know what I mean? So eliminate all of that.
Yes,
eliminate all of that.
To quote like Vince Vaughn, it's like putting on the earmuffs.
There you go, putting on the earmuffs. Locking in for a draft. Now, here's the thing. There are no rules. There is no constitution. They don't piss test you before or after the NFBC. You feel what I'm saying? Matt, you've won championships without the stuff, right?
That's correct. But I also piss excellence, so.
So that's the thing. It's like bonds. I was good without it. I win chips without it.
Hey, look, the level of competition, and I never state that I'm the best fantasy player out there. I think I'm very knowledgeable. But the guys that I will be participating in these next 2 weekends are, in my opinion, the best in the world. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from top players. There are some of the top guys that do play in NFBC, and they're phenomenal as well. They are great riders. It's a great competition. But, I mean, there's some of these names you've never heard of. That I mean, these guys are just locked down solid.
So it sounds like you're saying you need an advantage against them.
No, I don't want to be distracted in any way. It's tough when you do, like, two drafts in a day. Like, if you do an auction and a draft, you know, you're there for 5 hours for the auction, then another 3 hours. You know, you're committing 8 hours.
It's exhausting.
It is mentally...
draining.
Mental fatigue can set in.
Yeah, to me, I mean, it sounds incredibly exhausting. And, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to phrase the question right. Have you found that, like, when you take the stuff that, like, do you see a significant difference in yourself?
No, it's not. I mean, I don't say I see a significant difference. I just feel more, what's the word? I'll go back to focus. It's just more of a focus-driven thing. And like I said, it's not something that I take on a regular basis or anything like that. It's once in a blue moon for these kind of things. Or if I was going to, like, I understand why kids in college, when it's midterm or finals and stuff like that, why they do it. After taking it, I understand why they take it now.
Should you be allowed to take it? I mean, I guess technically you're not. It's illegal. But, like, pretending that no cops are listening.
I think with anything, if you took it in...
Moderation.
You know, a glass of wine every night is fine.
Yeah, of course.
A bottle of wine...
Probably not a great idea.
Yeah, you don't want to do it in excess. So.
Right, I mean, it's one thing having a beer when you're home from work. But
I'm more concerned about my caffeine and cigarette intake than I am.
Probably true. Probably. Well, that's why we have you on the air for 2 hours, so we don't let you go get a cigarette in these 2 hours here. It's so interesting, I think, what drafts have become, and I kind of relate it to, like, old school poker in a way, right? Like, you think of the old school, like, World Series of Poker, like, at some dungy casino, everyone's smoking their cigarettes and blah. Like, that's what I think of. And then as it got more popular, and as it became more mainstream, you're in these beautiful casinos, you have people that are not dressed up, but, like, incredibly focused, incredibly smart, and, you know, this is their life. And I feel the same way with fantasy drafts, in that when it started, you know, it was back of a bar. It's what it was. It was the back of the bar. Some guys, I'm sure, many cigarettes and beers and whatnot were involved. And I feel like it's become, in certain leagues, like the NFBC this weekend and next, there is not backroom bar where you're just chain-smoking cigarettes and it's dirty and gross and grungy. It is laser-focused guys that's putting, as we found out yesterday, Corey, a ton of money on the line. They're putting your money where your mouth is. You are here with the NFBC. And I understand getting every advantage legally and illegally that you can.
But dudes don't go into tout wars like this. You feel what
they
I'm
don't.
Saying? Yeah. You don't see, like, Lenny Melnick not going to pop one before the NL only. You
Maybe
feel
he
what
should.
I'm
he's popping a breakfast burrito.
Yeah, he's going to pop a breakfast burrito. You feel what I'm saying? Come in there and do it and handle it in a situation like that. Now, the thing is about it is this. Do you think we ever going to get to a point where somebody's like, oh, well, you know, I heard Matt won that chip, and I know he was on Adderall, and then Greg Ambrosius call you and be like, we got to take that check from you. You feel what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, that's not good.
See, that's ridiculous. So that's not going to, at least you don't think so. I don't think nobody is that serious. Now, Tout Wars could be something different. If I was to win, you know what I'm saying, Ronis would be like, Corey was on Adderall. That's how much of a hater Ronis is.
Well, it's not very nice.
You feel what I'm saying?
It's not very nice.
But it's the truth, though. So I think it depends, like, you know, the level of competition. I don't mind it for the fact of the extreme focus. Like you said, you win without it. I don't think it's something that is makes you a better fantasy player. You feel what I'm saying?
You know, it's not going to
exactly.
make me... It's
not You're gonna not going to take one to run your waivers, are you?
there's no way I'm going to make a better pick because
You're not making the players better.
If I got if I'm going to be sitting in the Hilton Hotel or the Bellagio Hotel for like 10 or 12 hours...
Yeah, you want
know,
that
I just
want
to be, you know... I want to be ready, you know.
Yeah, I don't got no problem with that.
Especially getting up at like 5 in the morning and,
exactly.
I'm not getting home till 10 at night, you know.
You were saying that this year you just going out to the draft and that's it.
Yeah, pretty much. I land in Vegas 8 o'clock Thursday, check into the room, order some room service, go over some notes.
So you're not going to go, where are you staying?
I'm staying at the Bellagio.
You stay at the Bellagio. So you're going to go upstairs. You're in Vegas. You're just going to go upstairs, order some room service, go over some notes, and go to sleep. You're not going to, like, venture down to the casino on the strip. You're not going to go have a nice meal at the restaurant in the Bellagio.
No, I'll probably order a nice steak up to the room, though.
Yeah. But right to the room. To the room. This is a business.
I don't understand
this. This is a business trip.
I understand it, but, like, why would you go downstairs? Why to the room? Why not go downstairs, have a nice hot steak, have a nice glass of wine? Why in your room?
I got too much invested, to be honest with you.
There you go. There you go. It's too much invested.
I mean, Friday morning. I will be at Friday morning. I got the AL only at 10 a.m. I have the mixed auction with Vlad at 4 p.m. At 9 p.m., though, Mike the Mouth is having a party at one of the suites in the Bellagio. I will be attending that. I'll spend, like, you know, 3 hours there or whatever. And then Saturday morning we do.
I know how Mike the Mouth get down. That's going to be a wild party.
No, that was my next question.
Oh, yo.
So,
Mike the Mouth
is a lunatic. What do these parties entail here?
In all honesty, I don't know. I know they're having like a midnight draft. I was invited, but I said after two auctions.
The freaking party at 9 p.m. is a draft?
Well, no, at midnight they're going to be doing a draft.
Why do I want to go to a suite to have another draft?
I'll probably, you know, at that point I may bounce
like an invitation,
or something.
And they do it with the footballs, they do it. Well, FFWC does it too. After the Thursday night game, like right after the game is over, they load them up and they draft.
This is what I want to do. I'm in Vegas.
Nah, you don't understand. This is kind of like I love the midnight draft, the midnight madness draft. Yeah, it's because
Corey.
Yeah, no.
You're in Vegas, right? You go for football, right?
Yeah.
It's midnight in Vegas, and you want to sit in your suite with 11 other dudes and draft? You're lying to me.
I'm dead serious.
You want to sit with 11 other dudes and draft when you're in Vegas?
You do the draft 2:30. You get back out on the strip. You feel what I'm saying? And you bring it home or whatever you want to do. But I have drafting is fun, Greg.
I understand that, but you just did 40 other of them 2 days, for the last 2 days.
Well, and FFWC, that draft is the first night. When you first get there, you watch the game, the Thursday night game, open up, boom. You know what I'm saying? Then they go in the room, and they have a draft. You know how exciting that is? Remember Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdown passes in one of those games?
So that's a little bit different because it's the first draft, right? Like, so the first draft, I get it.
Okay.
You get there Thursday, you watch the game together, you go draft, it's the first one, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But over to my partner across from me here, you drafted, you get there Friday morning, you get there Thursday night, you have a nice steak, and it's too important, you
in
have too
room.
Much invested, so you don't even leave your room, you eat your steak while
I like
going
that
over
focus,
your notes.
Though.
It probably took an Adderall for that, too.
Well, I mean, I'm also a little older now, I'm going to be 44 next month.
That's
so.
Not old!
I mean, I've been to Vegas, I mean, when I worked on Wall Street, my job was to take people out like 3 nights a week, so I've had the, you know, this is what I love doing. I love talking on the radio. I love drafting. I love putting teams together, baseball, football, to me, this is a hell of a time. This is a good time. So I, for me, I'm jacked for this.
Any fantasy sports player, the Vegas trip, the Vegas drafts needs to be on the bucket list. It's a part of it. You know what I'm saying?
But,
you get
on,
out there,
on.
You do it, the sports book, the whole thing.
So I've been
listen, this, and yeah, you know it's a lot of stuff going on in Vegas. We get that part of it. I can do both. I can multitask. But I... Yo, this is, you get out there, you get in the draft against the best players, and then you chop it up, kick a little top golf, you know what I mean? You know me, I talk big time trash. I'm always trying to hustle some young lady back to my room, you know what I mean? So, you know, that's still there, Greg. But like Matt said, this is a business trip. I came out here to win. I don't do this. You see, these kids is growing. This boy wears shoes. It's $200 damn. You know what I'm saying? Every time you turn around, somebody needs some braces. You know what I mean? Or somebody needs this or that. This is not a hobby. This is professional playing right here, and this is how it's done.
Yeah, like my goal is to be like, you know, where I don't have to have a job, and it's at the point where it's that good. there are some people that, you know, I know people that have quit their jobs, you know, so, I mean.
Yeah, Benny quit his job.
I know he did.
He had a gig, like he wasn't like, you know, he wasn't, Benny had like a gig on like a financial gig, and he was, you know, kids and shit like that, you know what I'm saying?
Now he plays
and
fantasy.
He was like, yo, yeah, now he plays fantasy. That's you know,
I will say that walking into a high stakes live event for me is the closest thing to walking into a trading floor when I got like a big order I know is coming in, or I know it's going to be a big day.
I feel like I'm about to play the damn game. The draft is like when I'm, it's like it's coming out the tunnel. I'm coming down on the hotel. You know what I'm saying? I got my headphones on. I'm locked in, Greg. I don't play. You know what I'm saying? I don't play, Greg. When I'm locked in like that, when I'm in Vegas and I'm getting it in, it is not a game. It's not. I'm sorry. It's not.
You just made a comment that everybody needs to get to Vegas and do the Vegas draft.
Yeah.
So in a non-championship, non-tout, non-NFPC, nothing like that, like my friends, normal league, have been like, oh, it'd be fun to go to Vegas. So we had said like previously, like AC to draft, because AC is just closer, obviously, than Vegas. Like fun to go to AC to draft, fun to go to Vegas to draft. And I sit here and I wonder, like, my question was, and it's the same to you now, if you're at normal 12 dudes or 15 dudes, whatever, why am I going to Vegas? Why can't I just draft in my apartment in New York City and then go out? Like, why am I wasting money to rent out a room in Las Vegas or AC to sit with my friends and draft?
Or even if you went to a restaurant, you know, like some of them have those private rooms.
Sure.
You got your 12 of your buddies together.
Right.
Just for the experience. You get yourselves, like, you know, you sit around like a couple of gentlemen, you get a steak, a nice bottle of wine, you draft. It's just a bonding experience. It's fun. You don't have to, you know, I'm not saying you got to play high stakes or anything like that. Make it an experience.
Yeah.
Whether you're going to somebody, say you live in California and it's warm out, they got a pool, you know, draft, have barbecue going, pool party, whatever, you know. Just create the experience.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. It's a bonding thing. It's a fun time. It's what we love doing.
Ultimate competition. You feel what I'm saying? So you're in there, you're chilling. You got your cigar, your hat, you know what I'm saying? The whole thing. Lead the ladies home, you know what I mean? I love it, Greg. I'm all for it. I can go tomorrow.
So go on that.
But tomorrow's Tout Wars. No, I got to work tomorrow.
What about next week? Next week is not Tout Wars. Why don't you go on that to Vegas?
I know I got to be. I had to be here to work because I don't play for a living yet.
Not yet.
No. Uh-uh.
Soon enough.
We'll see what happens. I still got to knock down some more shit. I'm not going to leave you, Greg. I'm never going to leave you. You know, the people need me in the morning too much.
No, I think the brand, the Roto Expert, just needs you. You can't quit.
They need me in the morning too much. They
you're like
need
a pillar.
Me.
You are the salt of the earth.
Well, I'm just here. I just do the best I can. Heavily criticized, but I'm still here, though. Still hanging and banging.
Let's take a break, guys. We're going to come back. We're going to pop some Adderalls and see if the show gets better. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Corey Parson.
The big homie.
Maladika, Greg Sussman, we're hanging out.
Why are we listening to like this 80s, 90s club music?
Well, I think it's time we run to Mike Florida and ask that.
Yeah, this reminds me of wearing like a gold chain with my hair pushed back.
Blonde?
This is pre-blonde.
Pre-blonde, okay.
Yeah, I was still a young buck back then.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, that was like, that. If Scott was up here, he'd have been dancing. And then now he'd have been out of breath.
Well, that's what happens to Frank Stanfield daily.
Yeah. Oh, that's the Frank Stanfield when he be up here doing that shit with his arms. When he be pointing and doing that wild stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, you want to give you the impression of it?
You want to impress it? Yeah. Hey, Florio, turn the music up a little bit.
Here we go.
This is Greg doing the Florio. Doing the staff. Hey. He does that, and then he got the guns going. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. There, that side to the left. All right, there you go. You come back this way. And then when he does the thing where he likes pointing at people, where's that? Yeah. Hey. All right. That's.
There you go.
He needs help.
Well, he's been hanging out with Scotty too long.
Oh, he used to live with Scott.
Yeah.
They used to stay in the
bathroom. In his bathroom.
Yep.
Let's get into some players. How about that?
Oh, do we have to?
Sorry. It's what people want to know, Corey.
And who are you going to talk about?
It's people that are listed here.
I better.
We started out, you heard it in Scott's news at the top of the hour. Rafael Iglesias, MRI on his elbow, comes back clean, but he's banged up. He's not going to be ready for opening day. Yesterday, I talked to people on our. You know what? I'm going to call him out. Mike Florio, you're here. Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Good morning.
There it is. All right. Florio, I asked you about Rafael Iglesias yesterday. You told me you weren't concerned.
No, they're saying that there's no structural damage and all that.
But however, you won't draft David Price when there's no structural damage. But Rafael Iglesias, you told me yesterday, quote, "I'm not concerned, no big deal."
David Price, I think, is a little different.
Why?
David Price, the Reds are saying Iglesias is likely still for opening day, at least from what I read.
He's not starting opening day next week. Are you crazy?
I don't know. I mean...
Well, he's not going to start, Greg.
No, yeah, he's a reliever. No.
You guys are so funny. You're so funny. Corey Parson, you're hilarious.
The price is also a lot different, and it ties into that a lot.
I just don't see why you would be drafting Rafael Iglesias when there's like a million other people you could draft, other closers.
I don't know. Like I said, at least things could have changed. When I read it the other day, they said it was precautionary that he was going for... and then the results came back clean. So to me, that was like, all right, cool. He's good to go.
Okay. He's not even starting a throwing program until this Sunday. That gives him a week. And you know the throwing program. Flat ground, 90 feet. Then you get back on the mound. Then you need...
Simulated game.
Then you need a minor league game.
And then you need a simulated game.
And you need another simulated game. That's right. And you're just going to draft him. Hey, he's fine. No big deal.
Well, I mean, it depends on where you're drafting. Like, in the league, the one league I own him in, I got him pretty late as my RP3. It's not like David Price where you have to spend, like, a fourth-round pick.
Yeah.
But I don't think you do anymore in David Price. That's the thing. And we still don't want him. He went in the fifth round of an AL-only mock.
He did, but I don't know. At least in the drafts I participated in, he's still going pretty early.
Modica.
Yeah, Iglesias, I love the talent. I'm just... getting concerned that he just can't hold up, which is a shame. I think there shouldn't be a question. If he was fully healthy, he should be the Reds' closer and somebody I would target. But now with this news again, I know, say it was precautionary and things checked out. Is it a precursor to what's going to happen down the road?
I believe that when you're seeing this elbow injury already, he plays for arguably the worst team in baseball, certainly the worst pitching staff in baseball. Why am I giving this news? I don't need to draft this guy.
Yeah, it's pretty tough. It's pretty tough to get. I mean, like I said, the talent is what does draw you in. And like Mike said, I understand Mike's point. He's going later on. So if he is fully healthy and say he misses only a week or so, you can benefit as well. It's all about, as you say, your risk tolerance at that point.
Will you be drafting Corey Rafael Iglesias?
Nah, it's probably won't be fooling around with Rafael Iglesias. This Cincinnati thing is pitiful. This whole thing, I really can't see anything that... There's no pitcher on here that's really, like, intriguing to me. Now that Iglesias kid could play, but I'm going to have to get in on him. If I'm doing another draft, I'm going to have to get in on a reliever before I touch this guy. And then he has a tendency to walk people, too.
Yeah, he does, but, you know. They thought it would translate better, of course, as a reliever. Speaking of relievers, who would you rather have, Raisel Iglesias or Ryan Matson? Now, Ryan Matson had 30 saves last year. He was a closer for the Oakland Athletics, but there's about 1,000 guys in that bullpen that have closing experience, and thus they have what, Corey?
Closing mentality.
That's right, the closing mentality. Because they've all done it before, right? You have John Axford in there, Sean Doolittle's in there. Sergio Romo or Santiago Casilla? One of those.
Santiago Casilla.
They're the same guy to me. Santiago Casilla, he's in that bullpen as well. Of a lot of guys that have closing experience in there, but manager said Ryan Matson will open the season as a closer. So who would you rather have, Bodica? Which one of those two guys?
I would take the shot on Raisel in this case.
Really? Even though he's hurt.
I mean, that Oakland situation is just awful. They're another terrible team. They have a terrible defense, terrible lineup. And like as you just mentioned, there's like four guys in the mix. Even if Madsen starts out, it could be one day Doolittle, the next day Casilla, Axford.
See, I think Madsen, I don't know, he's not safe by any. He has no job security by any stretch of the imagination. But I think I want. Madsen had a little bit of injury issues this spring
in his
too.
career. For sure. Yeah,
I don't know. Iglesias has good stuff, but I think
when he transitioned into a reliever full time last year, he was money.
Yeah.
So I'll take the shot on that. I mean, if it was like you're asking me Raisel Iglesias or Cam Bedrosian, that's not even a question.
Okay, that's very obvious. Bedrosian, to be clear. Okay, just want to make sure we're all on the same page here. Speaking of injury news from yesterday, Eduardo Nunez had a cortisone shot in his shoulder, and he is questionable for opening day. Now, we've seen in the past, I kind of relate this to Justin Turner, who's kind of getting shots pretty regularly in his knee, which has scared me off a little bit of Justin Turner, a guy that I was very high on last year. I had him. He was awesome, of course. But I'm seeing Nunez get shots. I'm seeing Turner get shots. Should we be concerned about players like this, Matt?
The thing with Justin Turner is with the knee, it is concerning to me now. He's a guy who I think is super solid. Another guy that I would target for the third base position this season. But that's not something I want to be hearing right now that, you know, he came back last year, had the slow start, but just killed it down the stretch the last 4 months. And hearing that kind of news is a little disappointing to me.
What about you, Corey? Those two guys, Justin Turner, Eduardo Nunez, are these shots concerning?
Well, they have to be because, you know, you can't, you know, if you get one of these things, you probably need another one at some point. So,
exactly.
So there you go,
that's the issue. Where are you on drafting Eduardo Nunez here? Like, he wasn't really somebody that was high on my board despite the good year last year, and maybe that's my issue, but where are you on him?
He's a guy that I really haven't taken. I understand the stolen base upside. It's just there's so many other guys there that in that position. I know he has outfield eligibility too, but for some reason, maybe I was wrong. Like I said, the stolen bases are what attracts you about Nunez. And if this dude's getting shoulder shots, that's kind of like putting a big damper on for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you guys as well.
E5.
E5, that's right. That's Ernie. Or E6.
Now he's different, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, really, he played shortstop for the Yankees, too. That's why he's E6. Okay. God. Let's take a break, guys. Let's come back. Let's play a little bit of AC/DC here. I got a bunch of guys that I got to ask you about. Or we can talk about Greg Bird hitting home runs every day. Or we can talk about Masahiro Tanaka not getting anybody on base or allowing any runs to cross. Or we can talk about our guy, a closer that you should take ahead of Raisel Iglesias. You know who that is, Corey?
Who is that?
We represent him. We're his agents.
Jenmar.
Thank you for answering, because Corey's not.
Thank you.
Jenmar Gomez, who's allowed how many runs this spring?
Zero.
One.
He's doing good.
All spring. But we're already ready to blow him up.
Who'd dollar you? Make you holler, Corey.
No. More than a dollar. More than a dollar. Jenmar Gomez, we talk about him next. Now, we sat here just 2 days ago, and we said all this Jenmar Gomez hate. In fact, to the contrary, in addition to that, all I've said all spring, I was going to say winter, because it was winter, that everyone trying to replace Genemar Gomez, again, as they did all of last year, they're doing it wrong. And now Genemar Gomez has allowed how many runs this spring, Corey?
One.
One run all spring. I bet Hector Neris has allowed more. I don't know that for a fact. I just assume, even though he's been in the WBC for a while. Now, I guess he doesn't have the best stuff. I guess that there's other younger options, and yes, he can get traded. But isn't there something to be said, Corey, about Genemar Gomez's closer mentality?
He has to have it.
He has to have it.
37 saves last year. You know what I mean? His manager keep talking trash about him. Everybody in the fantasy industry think he going to lose a job. He got to sit up there with Hector Neris every day. He probably looking at Neris like, what's up with you, dog? You come up here trying to take my gig. You know what I'm saying? Don't worry about me. I got closing mentality. You might have the stuff, but I got the mentality. What's the dude? The manager said the other day, oh, he's the closer right now. That's not a vote of confidence. Mm-hmm. Why are they screwing with this guy?
I don't get it.
They scoring this guy. But don't worry, Genemar. You're on my Tout Wars team.
And you're my man.
And you're my homie. Mm-hmm. There you go right there, Genemar. It doesn't make a difference what the rest of the industry is saying about you. I got your back, dog.
Yeah, well, like Corey, like I said the other day, where you got him was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
If you can bank in some saves, you know, that's a good thing. The long run, I mean, I would take a shot late. Like, say, I like to have 2.5 closers, so Genemar Gomez is like a half a closer for me. So he fits in that role.
He's from Venezuela. How come he didn't go to WBC?
He wants to keep that job.
Oh, well, that makes sense. Yeah, probably shouldn't be fooling around in WBC when you got
now another guy.
When you got Hector Neris breathing down your damn throat.
You know who went to WBC?
Who?
Hector Neris.
He did.
Yeah.
See, Genemar made the right move. Mm-hmm. Neris went to the WBC, whatever, and then he was giving up runs and stuff like that.
Sure.
Genemar stayed back with his teammates in the spring. Was like, nah, you know what, Hector, you go ahead. I'm gonna stay out here with my guys, and I'm gonna make sure that I have my job with the Philadelphia Phillies. You go over there and party with your brethren, with your countrymen. I'm gonna stay right here with my teammates and lock down this closer job. Shout out to Genemar Gomez.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, the manager. I think the reason he's gonna start the year as the closer, but you have to be ready to cut bait at some point and be looking at. I'm not even saying it's gonna be Neris, because like I mentioned, they have Joaquin Benoit who can step into that role, and maybe they want to delay Hector Neris's time clock, because you know arbitration. They don't want to pay those, because once you make saves, you got to pay up.
The other thing, as I mentioned, going to break just a moment ago, another one of our guys, Corey, Greg Bird, just keeps mashing. Mashing and mashing and mashing.
Greg Bird hit home runs.
Two of them yesterday. And I feel like the discount, not discount, but I feel like the location that Greg Bird was going, clearly changing, Modica.
Yeah, I mean, the two shots he hit yesterday were mammoth shots. It wasn't like, you know, they
no
were...
No doubt about it.
Yeah, it wasn't like they just got over the fence. And like I mentioned, he's got that left-handed, that swing for Yankee Stadium. We saw the time he was called up 2 years ago. He hit like 13 home runs or something. I know some people are going to call him a possible Kevin Moss, but I think Bird is a perfect late-round corner for you. Is he going to be a world beater? No. I mean, I wouldn't be expecting the world from this guy, but I think he's a very suitable option in the corner position.
You think he can hit 30 home runs?
That's his upside. I'm going to look more towards the 20 to 25.
Right. That's pretty good. 20 to 25 is a lot of that. That's very good.
But like I said, I think that's ballpark aided. He's playing in the right spot. It's like in Great American Ballpark. I think that helps Joey Votto a lot. It helps it helped Jay Bruce a lot, having that, you know. Right field wasn't that far away.
No, it wasn't. And then, sticking with the Yankees here, the starting pitcher, Masahiro Tanaka, has allowed 0 runs this spring. We said yesterday on the News Desk show, Core, that ideally he would be like your perfect number 2 pitcher in fantasy baseball. You have him as a high SPT. Like, that's awesome. To be able to pair him with
an SP1.
With an SP1, obviously, right. But
why can't he be an SP1?
You're taking my questions.
Sorry.
No worries.
Why can't he be an SP1?
Well, I'm sure.
That's why I'm asking you.
I'm sure he's going to be an SP1 for some people. There are people that will just pound out the hitting for the first few rounds. And a guy like Tanaka, they will go to war with and then build on from there.
Well, here's the thing. Not enough strikeouts, and it's people still have the health thing.
Yeah, I love when people say, you're right, Corey, exactly what you say. It's not going to be enough strikeouts for a true ace, but a guy like a Johnny Cueto, I have no problem taking Johnny Cueto as my foundation. Okay, maybe he's only getting, say he pitches 200 innings, it's 185 strikeouts. I can get the strikeouts elsewhere. I want the innings. I want the ERA that Johnny Cueto is going to give
me. You
want
to say Johnny Cueto brings that low ERA. You know what? That's not a bad
combo.
Cueto and Tanaka.
Yeah.
And then you go with a high upside K guy. Then you're gonna have.
Then you need like Danny Salazar, right?
Mm-hmm. That's a good one. That's a perfect guy to put in into that scenario.
Yeah.
Somebody write this down
for your drafts.
I think I'm done drafting. I might.
You told me you have one more coming.
I think I might. Like I said, I haven't signed. I'm debating if I'm gonna sign up for another one or not. Depending on how busy I get over the course of the next. I don't know. I might just take the draft money and then put it like in, you know, in DraftKings. You know what I'm saying? And then just you know, do some DFS.
Yeah, you said you're a big DFS baseball guy.
I like to play DFS
guy.
Baseball. Yes,
you're a big DFS baseball guy, but yeah. You're not a big DFS basketball guy. You were. But not anymore.
I used to, but nah, it's just with the injuries and all of that. This every night is something different. I don't want to be having to start. Ron Baker.
Like, that's how you win money, about Ron Baker.
Yeah, no, but still, I'm just like, it's a little bit too much for me.
All right. That's fine. Are you a DFS baseball guy?
I will try and get into it this year. When I first moved back to New York, it was banned here, so unfortunately I couldn't do it, but I do plan on playing this year.
All right, there we go. We're going to come back. On the other side, we got some AC Ducey to play, as well as taking a look at March Madness tonight. We got the Sweet 16. We also have a fun version of that as well, because we're going to look at the March Madness Sweet 16. We explain this hour here on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts in the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Alongside Matt Modica, Corey Parson, I am Greg Sussman. Guys, Russell Westbrook had a perfect triple-double yesterday.
What's a perfect triple-double? I saw this morning. What is a perfect triple-double?
He was 6 of 6 from the field, nice. 6 of 6 from the free throw line. He did not miss a shot last night.
Good job for Russell Westbrook.
Damn good.
Yeah, damn good. 18 points, 11 rebounds, 14 assists. Quote Sixers coach Brett Brown, he did a really good job.
He nailed it.
Let me ask you a question.
Please.
Do you mind if I ask you a question? You ever watch NASCAR with your dad?
No.
Madika, no.
No, I have not.
Me and my father have never watched a NASCAR race.
Well, I'm sure some people around the country that have watched it with their fathers.
You know, I don't think, you know, I don't know.
If you watch NASCAR with your father, give us a call. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Do you watch NASCAR with your father? Hey, let's go pull up there, Florio.
I was just going to say, do you want a poll?
Let's go pull up there.
I got you.
How many of you have watched NASCAR with your fathers?
Oh, boy. I love it.
I would like to read from the book of Papa Parson.
Yeah, no, you know, yeah,
got
exactly.
Some nice quotes. Yeah, you got anything for us today?
Not today. Let's, every, you know, they come every now and then. I harken back to my youth. Yo, that's wild. That's crazy.
Like, pull up. We're going to find out.
Yeah, I got to find this out. Like, we, you know, and then, you know, I'm quite sure there's a lot of, you know, father-son NASCAR tandems out there. You know, it's, but I just every time I hear it, I'm just like,
the Jarretts,
yeah,
the Angles.
Yeah, but you know, I just don't see, you know, father son sitting up there with the remote control, You know what I'm saying? About, the Quaker State 500 is coming on.
I bet you're wrong about that. We'll see.
I'm quite sure it's a good amount.
I think there's going to be a nice amount of people that do partake in the NASCAR experience, father son.
Yeah. All right,
the poll's up.
I'm gonna vote on this poll here.
No. You vote no.
We'll say no's winning.
No's winning already. The no's have it. Scott gonna go vote yes. He gonna text Sean. Go vote yes.
Is the following player an AC or is he a Ducey? Matt Modica. I want to start with Byung-Hyo Park. Came over last year, really, really struggled out of Korea after a really nice career out of South Korea. And of course, it made people question Eric Timms a little bit. And Park was over. He's off the 40-man roster, still in camp. No one took a chance on this guy with a contract. Still in camp, and he's mashing it so much that he's probably going to make the team and once again be the starting everyday DH. So my question to you is, should we once again take a chance on Byung-Hyo Park?
I think we should. I am going to take that chance. I'll take the Park plunge for his draft stock, which is basically free. He is an AC for that. I think he will provide the power we all expected last year. I believe the wrist injury sapped the power from him in 2016. So he's a guy that I will be targeting, and I recommend that you do late in reserve rounds.
So it's his 36 spring at bats, right? 13 hits, 6 extra base hits, 4 home runs, 361, 429, 750 is what he's slashing. This is a key. Listen, he's having a good spring. Like Matt said, you can get him free on draft day. He's a Ducey, though, because last year he batted 191. That's blind.
Terrible. Terrible. People are still drafting like Tom Frazier. Todd Frazier. Excuse me. I was like Tom Frazier.
Who the hell is Tom Frazier?
I just read something about Down goes Frazier. I just read something about Tom Kohler. So it's like Tom was in my mind. Byung-Hyo Park is an AC for both of you guys. Where are you taking him?
He's going to be somewhere in my reserve round. It's probably if. With the news coming now, he's a guy I look at like Mike Napoli last year. I took Mike Napoli with the first pick in my reserve rounds everywhere, and that was a profitable venture. So I think Park will do the same.
Okay, so there you go. Now, from Byung-Hyo Park, I go to somebody else who came over last year, had some struggles. He's going to be an everyday first baseman this year. And I kind of related to them. I want to know where you would draft this person in comparison to Byung-Hyo Park. So, AC Ducey here, Modica, Yulieski Gurriel.
Gurriel is known as probably the premier hitter from the Cuban. Problem is, he's like 33 years old now.
Sure.
But in his heyday, he was like the man.
Homie.
Yeah, he was
the big homie.
The sweet swing and all that. He's a guy that I don't have a problem if I needed to grab somebody late. I'm not going out of my way for him, though. Right now, he's a Ducey, but he could be somebody that could potentially be an AC.
How you spell his name?
Gurriel. Did I lose it there?
I think you had the I the wrong. I think it's G-U-R-R-I-E. Gurriel. Yeah.
I did go to the Harvard of Staten Island Colleges.
So would you draft them before or after Park?
Oh, he has to go before. Actually, now, with
Park's had a really nice spring.
With Park having the job from what I believe one of the beat writers was State, one of the Twins beat writers was State, and he will be the opening day DH. Mm-hmm. So I would go Park now, knowing that, Park was a nice guy that I was getting in, say, those draft and hold 50-round leagues, 30th round, so now you're going to have to bump him up. And I think it was the wrist injury that sapped the power. I know our own Nando DeFrio is a big Park fan, so power to the people.
Where? What round are we talking here for both of these guys, gentlemen?
I
don't know. I want to know how late you're telling me they're late.
Reserve?
Are they reserve?
Well, I think Park was a reserve, but I don't think he's going to be reserve anymore. Somebody's going to take a shot on him to, like I said, it's all about these next couple of days. You got to be hitting up the Roto Worlds and all these places for the info because you got to be on top of this news. The Coda Glover news isn't probably going to break till next week. I'm sure everybody right now is buying Coda Glover. He's he was named after a bear or something like that.
Sure.
I never read. So,
yeah.
You know,
much he was named after a bear?
Something like that. There was a story about that on Twitter. I guess that's how they got the name Coda.
That's cool. Yeah, well, yeah, Coda would be a bear. You see, do y'all see this bear that's back in Jersey? The bear that walks on
no,
his 2 feet?
No.
It's back.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. All right. So.
You see this thing?
I have not. Hopefully, I will never see this bear.
It's called Google bear
with 2 feet.
Petals.
Clearly,
that's his name.
Corey Parsons is going to shoot at you. Yes, Gary, I'll say that much.
I'm not. No, listen. I'm not bullshitting you. Google bear.
I'm trying to. You know.
Petals.
I'm trying to talk about. You know. Some players.
Well, I will say about Gurriel is, like I said, he's a professional hitter, if I can use the term.
Sure, why not?
He is in a great lineup. I think he's currently projected to be batting towards the bottom of that lineup. But he is in a great lineup, so he's a guy, you know, when it gets late...
Would you rather have Gurriel or Josh Reddick?
I do like Mr. Reddick.
You do, really? Because he's really struggled this spring.
Yeah, and I'm not going to... He's a veteran. I'm not going to hold it against him. Like I said, main part with the spring training is get your reps. I'd rather see some of these guys struggle now than struggle come April when we go live. So, if you need the corner guy, I go Gurriel. If I need a late outfielder, I'll take a shot on Josh Reddick.
Yeah, and then Gurriel, they don't really have like a set gig, so we don't know what his thing is going to be.
I think he's in there. I think he's going to be playing every day. The Astros. See, the thing with him last year is, you know, he made that transition. He came over. They put him in the minors for a little bit. I do think there is upside with him. I do think this is a guy that he was sleeping a little. Now he's waking up, and you know. Maybe could see some good things.
They should make a trade.
I think the Astros will wind up getting Jose Quintana. It just seems like
I think so too. All right, maybe I'll try to find another player that Corey cares about.
I gave you my opinion on Gurriel. I just don't know what the at bats are going to be like, but I do see now here that it looks like he is going to have the gig. Listen, but these guys are the same. These are late round guys that might hit you 15 home runs, you know, in bat 260.
All right,
there's nothing intriguing here.
All right, so I'll change it. The next guy is somebody you'll care about more. That's an earlier round guy. Is that cool?
I'm fine with anything you do, Greg.
It's Rihanna's ex-boyfriend.
Matt Kemp.
Earlier round guy. AC Deucey, Matt Kemp, Corey.
Oh, Matt Kemp's the AC. You know, he came back on the scene last year, hit 35 home runs. He'll be right there at the line. People are going to talk about the ballpark. He's had injury things in the past. It looks like we got clearly past that. So I'm in on Matt Kemp. I don't have him on no teams. If I do another team, Matt Kemp is going to be a player that I'll be targeting. Good to see him push the home run number back up over 30 last season. If he can do that again this year, he's got a decent offense around him in Atlanta. Yeah, I can get down with Matt Kemp. He's not going to steal you no bases, but Matt Kemp can still play. He's an OF1.
I mean, Matt Kemp is a guy that I don't have a problem if I have to take him. He is in a lineup that I actually like. I do like the Atlanta lineup from the top up. It's Ender Inciarte. I think he's a guy that showed in the second half last season the player that he is and can be. Freddie Freeman is a stud to me. And I love that Brandon Phillips acquisition. You got guys like Nick Markakis, who nobody really ever cares about, but he's a good ball player. And Adonis Garcia. So, I mean, I think the Braves lineup is a little deeper than people look at. And Matt Kemp is a guy that's, if he plays a full season, he's going to drive in 100 runs.
Is he an OF1? Kenny, will you draft him as an OF1? Because I will not.
No, okay. That I will not.
So he's not an AC in regards to being an outfielder 1, but as an outfielder 2, you're okay with that? No?
I'd prefer him to be my outfielder 3. I mean, if I had to, sure. Ooh. I mean, Matt Kemp, if I had to, just because he's in the cleanup spot, and he's got a guy like Freddie Freeman in front of him, who I'm very high on. I think he's just
so you
solid.
Said you want him as an OF3.
Yeah, I would like to have, like, you know, I want to have a couple of outfielders there before him, if given the choice. Like, in a perfect world, like, say I want to get, like, a Gregory Polanco and say maybe a Nelson Cruz on my team first.
See, I see Cruz being an OF one. I think Polanco is an OF two.
Well, Polanco right now is an OF. That's what I'm saying. If I get Cruz as my one, okay, so Polanco as my two.
But this is auction right here, though, because you can't do this one in a draft, can you?
Well, no, in the draft, I think I can, because I mean, I'm going to have to take Cruz in the third round early. Okay. That's where he's going. He went at the end of the second round Sunday night, so I got to take Cruz there.
You Polanco, get Polanco in the fourth.
Polanco right? in the fourth, and then I go and get Matt Kemp later on. He's going
5-6 round.
He's going 97th overall. So that's in the sixth round. Yeah. You know, 6th, 7th round. You know, he's all there.
Right, so yeah,
I mean, guys like him,
that's
Jose,
a powerful outfield right there.
Jose Bautista. I mean, I think I'm not averse to get my outfielders early. I think you got to get them. I don't think after you start looking, there's some guys that could be good late. But I think there's plenty of middle infielders that are good late. And I want the outfielders that are going to hit the home runs and drive the RBIs in, or the guys that can steal, you know, possible 2020 studs.
The next name on my list, another outfielder, guys, who someone that's pretty high. I'd like to know your opinion on Matt Kemp versus this guy. And that's Lorenzo Cain. AC Ducey, Matt Modica on Lorenzo Cain.
This guy can't stay on the damn field. What is Matt Modica's turn? I'm sorry.
No, you go, Corey. You go first.
Greg, what are we going to do with this guy? When is he going to play over 140? He played in what? He's never played over 140 games.
Lorenzo Cain has never played over 140 games.
Never played over 140 games. He's a doozy. Yeah, I understand. You know what I mean? Maybe you get 15 home runs, 25 stolen bases, comes with a batting average close to 300. When he's out there, he plays well. I don't like in baseball. I'm more willing in baseball. I want people that I can trust to be on the field. You feel what I'm saying?
Yep. So he's
like, I'm not a riverboat gambler in baseball. I want guys back of the baseball card. The back of his baseball card says he's going to play 103 games. I got to spend the rest of the year finding a replacement for this guy.
So you're out.
I mean, Corey does make an excellent point here. And I think, look, if you miss out on Odubel Herrera or, say, an Adam Eaton, and I need that type of player, I'm fine taking Kane there. Because he's going like 11 picks after Herrera. Was Herrera moving on up? Where'd he go, Odubel? Can't find him here. But Adam Eaton's going 2 picks ahead of Kane. So, I mean, those are similar players.
And you talked about how much you like Adam Eaton and Odubel more, I would say, than Lorenzo Cain, right?
I'm going to go with them just for the fact, like Corey said, I think he has a bounce back season, but he needs to stay on the damn field. That is a big thing. Just Odubel Herrera news. He's now up to 115 overall. 116, excuse me, overall. So
it's climbing.
You better be taking him in the fourth round now, right?
So don't say that to me. I will. All right, two more outfielders here on my list. The next one, let's go to St. Louis. Easy Ducey, Dexter Fowler.
I love Dexter Fowler. Dexter Fowler's my guy. I got him in Tout Wars, OBP dude. Listen, the St. Louis Cardinal fans were mean to him, but don't worry about that, Cardinal fans. They've done it to plenty of other people before. But you know what you get with Dexter Fowler, a professional offensive player, give you that average in the 270 range. Listen, is not a real big power or RBI guy, but he'll hit you 14, hit you 15 home runs, steal you 15 bases, 270 batting average. He's not like he doesn't do any. He's consistent fantasy player that's going to get up there and. Now, he has a hard time staying on the field, too.
I was about to say, he was just knocking Lil' Cain for that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd rather have Lil' Cain over Dexter.
He has a hard time staying on the field, too, Dexter Fowler. He's a better locker room guy. So that means nothing for us in fantasy. But I like Dexter Fowler as a human being, but he does not stay on the field like as he should either. So,
see, the problem I have with Fowler, I think he was a good... He's good for the Cardinals. Is exactly what they needed. That type of player to lead off, play center field. They needed help there. Their center field play was atrocious last season.
So is he an AC or a Ducey for you?
I mean, he's probably kind of a Ducey for me. Just for the fact that if you look at him, when like you say, when Corey says, look at the back of the card, it's, you know, is it really ever, except for one season, over 13 homers, over 13 stolen bases? I mean, the runs... He's not getting 100 runs for you. So that's why I'm going to call him a Ducey.
Okay.
I have him in Tout Wars, and that's OBP.
Okay.
I'm just saying. He's good in on-base.
No,
absolutely.
Yeah.
You're playing it right. You gotta look at the. You gotta play the league rules, Corey.
Yeah, you got. Yeah, you know. He's going to stay on it. I already got JD Martinez hurt.
And JD Martinez he's going well.
No. Listen. JD Martinez is hurt. Mesoraco is like, I don't know if I really want to play. You know what I'm saying? Like, they sent me out there. I don't know, whatever.
He did throw somebody out yesterday. He had a nice throw to
second. Oh, that's good. Well, I'm glad to see that. You know what I mean? These guys right here, I'm looking at this list, right? This team. So far, everybody's all right except for, you know, we got, remember Zach? I got Zach Greinke, who's throwing 88 miles an hour. Jenmar Gomez, who everybody hates.
I don't hate him.
So Ronis Voodoo in full
Yeah, exactly. Adam Ronis put a hex on my team, sucker.
Cole Calhoun, AC Ducey, Matt Modica.
I'm going to say for his role, he's an AC. It's what your expectations are. I think he's going to fill that solid void later on for your team. The Angels are another team that have possibly can be a lot better than people think. It's going to depend on the pitching if that can hold together. But yeah, I'm in on Cole Calhoun.
Okay, Corey.
Yeah, I like Cole Calhoun too. I think you can get some things done with Cole Calhoun. These guys are all kind of in that same range, but at least Calhoun, he'll drive in some runs, a little bit more power upside. He'll also score some runs too. So I like Cole Calhoun.
Where are we taking Cole Calhoun?
Is he a redhead?
No.
I'm looking at this picture. It looked like he was a redhead.
I don't believe so.
I lost it. Cole Calhoun is currently going. Drum roll, please.
What about 188?
Yeah, I thought that there, but I'm losing. Where the hell is that? Oh, yes. 188.49.
On the nose. How about
winner,
that?
Chicken dinner.
How about that? Bring me a Modell's gift card.
Nicely done, fantasy exec.
There you go. I'm studying.
Let's take a break, gentlemen.
Yes, I had to go in the bathroom.
I had a feeling he seemed antsy.
Yeah.
Let's take a break, gentlemen. We're going to come back. We're going to have some NFL news. As Corey mentioned a moment ago, Latavius Murray had ankle surgery. How does that impact anything? We'll talk a little NFL news at the bottom of the hour. We're getting to the tournament for the last half hour of the program. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Latavius Murray, ankle surgery, and that might have been the reason why it took so long for him to get signed, Corey. He had some ankle injuries throughout the season last year, and now in Minnesota, he had ankle surgery. The Vikings say they're not surprised. This could keep him out up until training camp, maybe a little bit into training camp. What does this do for Latavius Murray? Got your mic on, though.
Yeah, I just got back from the bathroom. I washed my hands.
Good.
What does it do for Latavius Murray? The ankle surgery? Hopefully make him run better. Other than that, it's nothing. You know what I'm saying? You get Lat Murray, comes out there, ankle surgery, get cleaned up. Injuries have been a little bit of a thing in his career. Obviously, playing the running back position is always going to be that way. But as far as where his draft stock and his outlook for 2017, he's an RB2, a low-end RB2, in my opinion, with high touchdown upside. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, Minnesota's probably a good situation for him. I wanted him to go to Seattle. As Corey said, I'm going to agree with that, like the low-end RB2. And maybe Minnesota's offense is a better version this season. So,
Latavius Murray wasn't the only running back that was in the news yesterday. Guess who got signed yesterday, Corey?
Adrian Peterson?
No.
Oh.
Right division, though.
I think Adrian Peterson will sign with the Raiders.
The Raiders, you think?
Yeah. I don't think the Marshawn Lynch thing doesn't
happen. They go to A-Pick.
And they go to A-Pick.
Let me guess. Same division.
Same division. They someone in that division signed a running back.
Someone in that division signed a running back. Mm-hmm. The Packers signed.
It is the Packers.
Yes, I know it is.
I don't know.
Bigfoot.
Christine Michael.
Oh, Lord.
He's back, baby!
I can't with Bigfoot.
After losing Eddie Lacy, it seems that the Packers are going to kind of keep the status quo unless they wind up drafting somebody, which is certainly possible. Christian Michael, Ty Montgomery. We've seen this show before.
They're going to cut him, Christian Michael.
Well, they just signed him.
They're going to cut him at some point.
That's not nice.
It's what happens to Christian Michael.
Well, I guess after Hillary came out of the woods, I guess Christian Michaels is back out of the woods. You know, everybody's coming out.
You haven't seen me in months. I've never been good. Never.
No.
Never.
No.
Always heard about all this tremendous talent.
Believe me, I'm with
Michael.
You. Believe me, I'm with you.
Boring. Boring.
Ty Montgomery, baby.
Boring. I'm in on Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I know you are.
Hey, let's see how the poll is doing. Why you get the next football question?
I got the next football question up already.
Right, go ahead.
I'm listening. So, that's the new running back in Green Bay. There's also a new tight end in Jacksonville, which I find interesting. Julius Thomas couldn't stay on the field. We knew that. But they always was looking for a pass-catching tight end. Now they have one in former Raiders tight end Michael Rivera. Rivera signs a 2-year deal with Jacksonville. And can he have fantasy value, Motika?
Yeah, I thought he was a guy that never really... I thought he would have a better potential. I don't think he ever lived up to it. With Blake Bortles, I mean, I don't know.
Volume.
Yeah, it's going to... Like you said, the thing we like about Blake Bortles is the Jacksonville will be playing from behind, and they're going to have to throw. So in that aspect, probably yes. They do need to find a tight end, because Julius Thomas did disappoint greatly.
All right, so this Michael Rivera kid, we think he can play, right? These are the kind of tight ends that I'm in on in the last couple rounds of the draft. I'm not spending for Martellus Bennett and Jared Cook and all that foolishness because they're going to be inconsistent. If I can get Kelce in that 5-6 round range, you know what I mean? I would go for it at that.
Why would Martellus Bennett be inconsistent?
Because Martellus Bennett has always been inconsistent.
But in Green Bay, it's a good spot for him.
And yeah, it was a good spot for Jared Cook, too.
And he played well.
Hmm?
He had
a couple good games.
All tight ends have a couple good games.
Exactly. That's why I'm not paying for them. Now, a guy like Kelce, who's the focal piece of the offense, and injuries don't really seem to be too much of a problem for him, I'll pay
him. He's always talking about. He's always injured.
Huh?
Kelsey's always hurt.
No, he's
hurt.
Not.
Yes, he is.
He gets little nicks and knacks, but he's not. I mean, he's better than Rob Gronkowski.
Everybody's better than Rob Gronkowski.
People take his ass in the first round. He disappoints yearly.
Well, Corey, I totally get what you're saying about the tight end position in general and, like, waiting on it and maybe going up for, like, Kelce in that range. I don't think he'll be there, but I get that. Now, if you're
if he, you're right. More than likely, he's not going to be there. He finished very strong down the stretch last year. He was playing to help people win championships. That's why I'm saying get a round or two discount on him.
Now, if you're playing in the FFPC... Where the tight end is like a point and a half, right? Isn't it?
Point and a half on the tight end.
So now that's going to skew your strategy on that one, right?
Yeah. Now that right there, it becomes a little bit more different. Now maybe, you know who I like in FFPC formats? Greg Olsen. I think he's the most consistent for that. Now you may have to pay a second, third round draft pick on him. I really don't play too much FFPC. Shout out to Eric and shout out to Eric and Dave and I can't forget my other buddy's name over there. Shout out to the whole crew. But they are. I don't like that point and a half on the tight end. I do play in pros versus Joes. That's like a tout wars thing, Greg. I've been in that for a while now.
Sorry.
So I do play in pros versus Joes. Jake Seeley won pros versus Joes. You know, that's about the only thing he's won. But you know, I don't like that format because it makes you pull these mediocre tight ends up the board. When I'm in those FFPC drafts, though, I tend to still wait on my tight end unless, you know, I see, oh, well, this guy's a little bit misvalued, so I'll scoop him up. But I don't pay for tight ends. I'm done with that unless I can get a couple round discount on an Olsen or a, what you call it, Travis Kelce.
Yeah, I'm done paying for tight ends.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. Yeah, you did that last year.
I mean,
year.
Jordan Reed did work out well for me last year. But
listen, here's the thing with Jordan Reed is when he had the year when he really impressed, he was going undrafted because everybody like, this guy can't stay on the field.
Yeah.
And then he impressed. You feel what I'm saying? Then he comes back last year, still in and out the lineup, whatever. We know Kirk Cousins like him, but he's just not ever going to be healthy enough consistently. Not
that's
for
the
my
show. Because when he went on the field, he can
play.
He can, yeah,
he can play.
He's
can flat out play. I like his game.
Ooh, you were going to look at the poll now?
I looked at the poll already.
Yeah.
It's not good for the race car.
For NASCAR fans?
For the NASCAR tandems.
No.
It's 80 to 20.
Yeah.
And 50% of the voters. 50%.
What are you trying to say?
50 people have voted. That's what I'm trying to say, Greg.
Right, that's fine.
I need to get my life together.
That's fine. Yeah, you got some work to do, man. Let's take a break. We're going to come back. The Elite Eight is this weekend. The Sweet 16 begins tonight. We break it down as only we can. The Roto Experts in the Morning continues next. NCAA tournament resumes tonight. It's been kind of a quick week, Modica. Like, I didn't even realize it's gone. Now it's back.
I'm excited that the UCLA-Kentucky game is Friday night at 10. I will get to view that. I'm probably going to come back here to Rockin' Riley's after my auction over at the Hilton. I'll have a beer or two and
Come back and chill with us.
We got four games tonight on the schedule, and that means we begin at 7 o'clock, 7:09 to be exact. Oregon, Michigan, the Wolverines, many say, they are the team of destiny. I'll put that on the line tonight. Like, it's my pick to go to the Final Four, the Oregon Ducks. So, Corey Parson, the Ducks come in as dogs tonight, despite being the 3 seed.
Wow,
1.5 point dogs tonight.
That's crazy. I didn't see that until you mentioned that just now.
In Kansas City, Missouri, at the Sprint Center, Oregon, Michigan, what do you think?
This is interesting right here. Now you got the upstart team, kind of the Cinderellas. Everybody's getting on board with the journey. Dr. A came on last week and said that Michigan was a dark horse sleeper team. Michigan is hit a stride, and they're playing very well right now. These teams are always scary. When you see these teams come out the conference tournament and they go into the NCAA and they kind of have this momentum going, Kemba Walker and
Shabazz Muhammad?
UConn from
Shabazz Napier.
Kemba Walker and UConn from
years ago now.
That was years ago.
That was a nice run.
Shabazz Napier is more recent.
Yeah,
honestly.
How about that? Yeah, But, you know, I like the old man. So Michigan's a dangerous team. Maybe that's why they're the favorite in this one. But I think the Cinderella slipper comes off tonight. I like this Oregon squad. They've been doing well all year. They're coming in with this heavy 3 seed. So give me Oregon tonight. It's going to be a goodie, though.
Once I heard the line that Oregon is a dog.
You knew they were going to win.
They're going to win. But the public is all in on Michigan. The book always wins. So remember that, people.
But what I can think about it, the other side. Like, people like you and I, you hear that Michigan's the favorite, right? A 1.5 favorite. I'm going to be like, holy crap, I'm going to put all my money on Oregon because that's ridiculous. But Vegas always knows, and there's a reason Michigan's the favorite, because they're going to win.
Yeah, but I think it's one of these where it's just the masses, you know, it's the casual fan. Not people. There aren't many Greg Sussmans out there who is Adderalled in on the NCAA tournament. So a schmuck like me, when it comes to the tournament, that's, you know, watching it, enjoys it very much, but isn't totally invested throughout the season. Oregon is the better team. I know this is the momentum team, but Vegas is very smart.
Michigan opened as a 1-point favorite, now up to 1.5 in many locations. So they actually opened as a favorite. That's one of the reasons I do like Oregon. You're right. I thought the line moved significantly. All right. Also tonight, 7:30, West Virginia Country Roads against the Bulldogs of Gonzaga. Gonzaga looking for their first ever Final Four, despite making 19 consecutive NCAA tournaments. Gonzaga, West Virginia, can Gonzaga beat the press? That is the question. Press Virginia, known for being just stymieing teams on defense. What do you think, Maddie?
Cue the "Who let the dogs out?" Let's go, Zags.
Zags coming as 3-point favorites, by the way.
It's more of what I want to see here. I think it's going to be a tough one, but I'm rooting for Gonzaga to face off versus Arizona. That's what I think everybody
it's
wants
one of those
to see.
Marquee matchups you want to see.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's going to be tough, but I'm going to go with my heart on this one. Go Gonzaga.
All right, going Gonzaga. Cooper Parson.
This is a tough call for me right here also. I like you said, West Virginia, that stout defense, that nice Big 12 conference record, nice overall record also. I like, obviously, Bob Huggins is a guy that's tournament battle-tested, knows what he's doing. These type of teams are not built for the regular season. These teams are built more for the tournament. So this is something that they've been looking at. Gonzaga's a tough out, though. But you know what? I think West Virginia can knock them off.
So is that your pick, West Virginia?
I might be going against my bracket, but I like West Virginia. So the bracket is out the window.
So you queued up to John Denver. West Virginia.
Yeah. I went to West Virginia. I've been to West Virginia one time.
I'm surprised you made it out.
Very.
No, I like, no, I'm serious. Like, I was like, oh, it's real out here. You know what I'm saying? I was like, oh, y'all say that word to people face. Okay. Like, wow.
Nope. The Kansas Jayhawks later game, of course, that'll take place in Kansas City as well. They host Purdue in this, well, I should say host, I guess it's in Kansas City, but so they play against Purdue. They are 5-point favorites rather. They open as 4.5-point favorites. Now, the Jayhawks versus the Big Ten season champions in Purdue, the Boilermakers, had two of the players of biggest potential players of the year in Frank Mason Jr. and Caleb Swanigan going head-to-head, different positions, but two legit player of the year candidates. Can Kansas stop Isaac Haas in the middle, the big 7'2" man? Can the Kansas stop him? And of course, can Purdue stop Josh Jackson? It's going to be a good one. 5 points, a little high for me. Who you got, Corey Parsons? We'll start with you. Yeah, Kansas
five,
and Purdue.
5 points is five points is a little bit high in this one. I agree with you on that. This is another very good game right here. It's just in the Midwest, so you know people. And it's 9:30, so people won't get a chance to see this. People start dozing off and going to sleep on this one. Not really very many big names in this competition right here. Rock Chalk Jayhawk, though.
I'm a Corey Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I think it's going to be a good game, but I think the I think Kansas prevails ultimately, pulls away a little late, and I don't see them not getting to the Final Four.
So you think they'll get past Oregon, Michigan? Or
yes,
did you say Oregon? Mm-hmm. Okay. Final game of the evening has Xavier, highest points for the night as well, has Xavier, 7.5, going up against the Arizona Wildcats, 10 o'clock Eastern time. 7.5-point spread here for Arizona, who, very interestingly enough, remember, was only a couple points, like 4.5, I think, against St. Mary's in a very, very good game that turned out to be. Now that spread's kind of risen here against for Arizona in their favor. It has me thinking Vegas knows this one's not going to be as close as some of the other games we saw. Now, let's not forget, Xavier blew out Florida State last weekend, like, by 20.
Florida State is frauds, though.
They are frauds. Arizona, by the way, and Sean Miller also looking for their first Final Four. Sean Miller's never gotten there. Arizona hasn't been there in literally like 20 years or something like that. I know 1997 they won it. They haven't been back in a very, very long time. So now Arizona trying to get to the opportunity to play Gonzaga with one of those teams going to the Final Four for the first time in a very long time. Arizona, Xavier, what are you thinking, Matt Modica?
Well, I got Arizona winning it all, so we're going to break that glass slipper tonight, and Arizona will move on to face Gonzaga.
Oh, the Xavier Musketeers. Is this a revenge game?
They have had some tournament games in the past, yes.
Wait a minute. Sean Miller.
Yes, Coach Xavier. Yes.
Coach Xavier, too, right?
That was many years ago now. At this point, though.
So it's a revenge game. Of some sort.
Yeah. Yes and yes and no. Like, normally it would be like the school rallying around the coach that left them. But it's been so long ago. None of these players played for him. Chris Maxinoff, tremendous job. I can't say it's a revenge game anymore.
Okay.
Personally.
Arizona Wildcats in this one, though. I think they beat the dog. I think they drag them.
They're going to kill him.
I think they drag him. I don't think they got time to play with Xavier.
All right. So there you go.
This ain't Florida State. This is Arizona Wildcats right here. Sean Miller. They coming to rock and roll.
I like the dragon.
There are picks for tonight. Break it down, of course. NCAA tournament returns tonight. CBS will have the coverage, as will TBS. CBS, TBS, those are the spots you need to be checking out. Let's take our final break here of the day. We're going to come back. We're going to play a little March Ad Sanity, March Adness. We got top 16 commercial products. Who's going to be the most engaged on social media? We're going to break it down, and we're going to wrap up the show with that. Coming up next. Final couple minutes here. Roto Experts in the Morning. Up next is Old School Fantasy. OGs have you on a Thursday. Scott Angle, George Kurtz, and of course my main man, Corey, the Fantasy Executive Parson.
Yeah, that's coming up.
So, we got March Ad Sanity going on.
Ad Sanity.
So, let me explain how this kind of thing works.
Please do.
We got a Sweet 16 here. And how it works is basically, Bold Worldwide is tracking social media interaction. Okay? social media interaction of the following brands. Like, we see commercials for these brands all the time in on during March Madness, right? And if you take a look at the bracket, which you guys obviously have in front of you now, we've seen this all the time, and they want to figure out which will have the most social media traffic, so most social media impressions during tonight's game. So basically from 7 to midnight, let's say, the most social media interactions. It's all in a March Madness-style bracket, and the day of the championship, we will have a champion crowned. So we're going to take it all today, because that's what we do. So let me start at the top. First matchup, which is supposed to take place today, Buffalo Wild Wings versus Buick. What do you think, Corey?
Oh, this is an easy one right here. You can't go against the brand that is Chicken Wings and Buffalo Wild Wings. The great commercials that they put out there, the great ads they put out there, this is kind of an event made for Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, people be at Buffalo Wild Wings watching the NCAA tournament. I love Buffalo Wild Wings. A lot of people be like, oh, just whatever, go to the Green Street Tavern. I like Green Street Tavern too, but I like Buffalo Wild Wings because they got one right there next to the Magic Johnson Theater uptown. Mm-hmm. So you don't even got to come into the city, you know what I'm saying? You can stay right uptown too. So I'm going to Buffalo Wild Wings. Like how I broke that down.
I'm going to go Buffalo Wild Wings as well.
Maybe not for the same reasons, but whatever.
Who the hell drives a Buick anymore? So, you know.
So I'm going to be honest. Hold on. You say this, but the Buick commercials to me actually did a really nice job rebranding Buick as like not an old person car.
Yeah.
Like the commercials to me where they have like the models like show up to the...
Those models ain't getting in a Buick, though.
This is true. Those
they show up to the
nice.
Bar, and they're like, oh, man, who's driving that? And then the model gets out of the Buick. I'm like, oh, my God.
Like, who's that guy in that Mercedes?
Yes. Yeah. I was like, that Buick looks pretty cool. I want a Buick.
Yeah, I'm going to the Wild Wings.
You guys are too brand heavy, man. I like the Buicks. I'm in on it. So you guys are both... I guess
no, like my uncles drive Buicks, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like 1985, yeah. I remember.
And my uncles drive Buicks. They still got them, too.
So the commercials clearly have not changed your opinion. No. I also think Buffalo Wild Wings has that ingrained advantage, because everyone's like, if it's a close game, oh, hope someone from Buffalo Wild Wings pulls the trigger.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. They've done a nice good job with their advertising.
All right, so you're moving
Shout out to Buffalo Wild Wings.
So you're moving on Buffalo
Send me
Wild
something.
Wings. Send us something. We will sponsor our show.
Hungry.
All right, we should Florio, tweet at them from our account, please.
No, please, Florio, don't. Because we get in trouble, we do that.
Why? I want to get it sponsored.
Huh?
I want to get us sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings and get food for us. How do I get
it? I don't think it works like that.
Well, that please, Florio, thank you.
All right,
the next matchup.
What do we got?
AT&T versus Capital One. Who will have more social media impressions tonight?
Well, what's AT&T doing now that's, you know, what? I don't get AT&T no more. Capital One has funny commercials.
The Capital One is the Barkley commercials, right?
Yeah, exactly. They do
Barkley, Steaks on a Plane.
Steaks on a Plane.
Steaks on a Plane wins. I think they're going all the
yeah,
way.
Yeah, I think Capital One's had a nice March Madness. They got the Jennifer Garner ones, obviously. And then Spike Lee, Charles Barkley. They got some Jim Nance in one of them here. Samuel L.
Cap One.
I got Capital One also. It's a bit of an upset. It's 11-6, they said. I definitely think Capital One.
Yeah, there was some bad cheating here. This is like the Wichita State.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Good point. So we're both putting Capital One versus Buffalo Wild Wings here.
Yay.
Okay, so there you go. We'll come back to that in a moment. Also tonight, Pizza Hut against Allstate. More social media impressions.
I got to go Allstate because you're in better hands. So that's the only reason why.
So you think why do you think they'll have more social media presence?
I mean, Pizza Hut with that stupid sneaker thing. You could order a pizza, you press a button on your sneaker.
But doesn't that sound cool?
There's nothing cool about that.
No, I'm not down with that.
Okay.
Allstate still got that black dude doing the commercials?
Dennis Haysbert?
Huh?
Dennis Haysbert?
That's his name?
President Palmer.
Yeah.
Dennis Haysbert.
He does a good job in those commercials.
Yeah, he does. Mm-hmm.
He's like, you don't have insurance.
Yep.
Mayhem struck, you don't have insurance.
The
cops
mayhem
are behind
ones
you.
Are good too.
Yeah, the cops are behind you. Your insurance has expired.
Your house just got robbed.
Yeah.
You have nothing left.
What are you going to do? And you're like, oh my God.
So,
I've been feeling bad for those people in those commercials.
Yeah.
And then that guy, he comes in. What's his name again?
That's Mayhem, right? Mayhem is Allstate.
Wait a minute. Who was the
March Mayhem is Allstate.
Wait, the black dude.
Are we
dude.
Talking about Allstate though?
Well, I'm just.
Yeah, he's the same thing. Though.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say it's not just Dennis Haysbert. Oh, yeah, it's yeah. also March Mayhem.
Yeah, so you got Mayhem, which is excellent, and then you got Haysbert. I like both of them.
So I think Allstate's definitely going to advance here.
I think Allstate.
How are they a 15 seed?
Dynamic duo.
What's going on?
Terrible seeding. Yeah. All right, Lowe's versus Bing. I haven't seen any Bing commercials.
Yeah, yeah, I got to go Lowe's just yeah. on, like, you know,
name man, don't you know.
Who's Binging these days.
Yeah. All right. So, the left side of the bracket in the Elite Eight will be Buffalo Wild Wings, Capital One, Allstate, and Lowe's. Let's go to the other side of the bracket now. At the top, Oreos versus Enterprise. Oreos is the number one seed in the tournament.
And rightfully so.
Now, what are the Oreos commercials?
They just the brand is something that everybody knows.
Well, everyone knows Enterprise too. They'll pick you up.
Yeah, but Oreo has been, you known Oreo since you were a child.
Well, I understand that, but what is going to bring them the social media impressions tonight or tomorrow, rather? Obviously, there has to be some Oreos campaign that we're not remembering, right?
Oh, I'm not a fan of that Enterprise commercial. It's that guy from Community.
Joe McHale?
Yeah, I think he's a jackass. So.
What? Why do you hate Joe McHale?
I don't know. He just rubbed me the wrong way. Oreos are damn delicious. You could dunk while you're watching dunks. So
yeah, there
Oreo
you go.
Oreo for me.
Corey?
I'm going Oreo on this one, too. You can't. Oreo's is a top brand.
I would have went Enterprise, man. They'll pick you up. And Joe McHale's doing it. I don't know. I would have went Enterprise, but I'm getting outvoted. But that's fine. All right, Oreo advances. Wendy's versus Alexis.
Wendy's makes a damn good bacon junior cheeseburger.
So it's the food will get you.
Yeah.
And I think Wendy's did some nice commercials. Basically, they're advertising. The main theme of this campaign has been that, like, they don't freeze their burgers. They make them fresh every day.
Yeah.
Well, Lexus, nice car commercial, upscale. Lexus, you know the deal, Corey.
Yeah, we know what to deliver.
I'm down with freshness and bacon. Baconators, you know.
Do you like mayonnaise on your burgers?
Yeah, I don't mind that at all.
Okay. Same. I'm not a really big mayonnaise on a burger guy.
I'm good with it.
It's interesting.
Yeah, I like pretty much mayonnaise on anything.
There's a lot of people that love mayo, will live and die by mayo. I like it. I don't, need it. Okay, so I'm advancing Wendy's. Modica's advancing Wendy's. Corey?
I'm going Wendy's.
So we're all going Wendy's there. I'm an Oreo Wendy's battle.
That's
going
to be tough.
Yeah.
That is going to be tough.
Powerade taking on LG.
Powerade is nasty.
It's not great.
Yeah, it's not that.
But again, it's not. You're not talking about the product. You're talking about the social media engagement.
Well, here's the thing. Let's. Now, one thing about, even though Powerade might be nasty, it's a good, like, it refills you. A Powerade after, like, when you're hungover.
So again, we're not talking about the product. We're talking about social media engagement.
I'll go LG. Maybe they have some new Slim Fit HD 4D Triple D TV. Who knows?
Corey?
LG.
Why'd you go LG?
Because I'm trying to explain Powerade, how Powerade can win on social media and nobody's listening to me.
I'm listening. See, what I would have said if I were you, Powerade is nasty, so people are going to tweet about how nasty it is during these commercials.
That's a good idea, Greg.
So that's why I'm voting Powerade. Can I change your vote?
No, I'm still going LG.
Damn it.
The best phone I ever had.
I think you guys are wrong about that.
Second best phone I ever had was an LG phone.
Oh, my LG phone was amazing.
Yeah.
I love my LG phone.
I love it too.
Lit up. Yeah, that one.
I don't know. This is a while ago.
Of course it was a long time ago. It's a great phone, though.
I don't think you were cell phone age when I had an LG phone.
I think I was, man. That was my first. One of my first phones was an LG. It was silver.
This was a silver phone, too.
Yeah, I was of age, man. Look at this guy. I shave here.
Oh, you ain't got you Scott ain't got
all cleaned up?
Up
now. It's Tout Wars weekend.
He's ready.
He's ready to go.
He's ready to roll.
All right.
Cardano said he look like he rigor mortis.
Reese's Pieces versus Cardano Unilever.
Went in on you.
It's definitely Reese's. They got the egg for Easter coming out now, yeah. So this is not even a question.
All right, Corey.
Reese's. Who doesn't love Reese's? And people on Twitter will be talking about how great Reese's tastes. Peanut butter and chocolate. You can't go wrong with peanut butter and chocolate.
All
better
right,
than peanut butter and jelly.
It's not, but that's okay. Reese's advanced. Let's go to the Elite Eight now, gentlemen. The Buffalo Wild Wings takes on Capital One. Oh, this should be a Final Four matchup. Yeah,
this should be a Final Four matchup right here. This is tough right here. The winner of this advances to the Final Four. I don't know. It's just everything sets up perfectly for Buffalo Wild Wings. And if you get a tight, close game tonight, people are going to say Buffalo Wild Wings send the game to overtime. there goes their advantage. Capital One has a big social media. It's going to have a big social media.
This is a tough one.
This is a tough one to be in the final, to be in the Elite Eight matchup.
I'm going to go back to Steaks on a Plane commercial.
So going,
they had me with that.
So. All right, what you got? What you got, Greg?
So you took Buffalo Wild Wings. Maddie took Capital One. I think, again, I got to go because if it's a close game, everyone's going to be tweeting about Buffalo Wild Wings.
Wow, Buffalo Wild Wings at the buzzer.
I'm going to go with Buffalo Wild Wings. All right, the bottom half of the bracket, go to the final four. Allstate versus Lowe's.
I got to go with Mayhem.
Yeah, I'm with Mayhem, too. I'm with Corey.
I'm going Mayhem as well.
Let's push him further.
Allstate versus Buffalo Wild Wings in the final four. Other side of the bracket, Oreos versus Wendy's.
Wait, so our final four matchup is Allstate versus Buffalo Wild Wings?
Yes.
That's a good final four matchup.
I agree.
Matchup.
It's a fair final four matchup.
Yep.
Oreos versus Wendy's.
Wendy's wins out for me because of the Frosty.
Yeah, but I also don't know the Oreos campaign. Like, maybe I'm just forgetting it, but I have no idea what the campaign
is. I got to go with Wendy's, too.
But, like, again, if I don't remember it, that's probably a bad thing.
Yeah,
not I'm going you. With Wendy's. Give me the upset. Wendy's goes to the final four. Reese's versus LG.
Running, gunning with Reese's.
Corey?
I think I gotta go LG.
I just don't know the campaigns, right? I'm gonna go with Reese's. That's the one that sticks out in my head.
Oh.
I'm going with Reese's. All right.
Reese's loses
the final one. The left side of the bracket is like a black bracket of death. The right side's just like all garbage here. All right. Final four matchup. Buffalo Wild Wings versus Mayhem. Gentlemen,
wow!
Silence. I go Wild Wings.
Goes Wild Wings.
I'm getting hungry.
Executive.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
I think I'm gonna go Buffalo Wild Wings too.
Buffalo Wild Wings on to the championship.
I'll tell you, they're going farther than that. All right, Wendy's versus Reese's. I'm thinking Wendy's. Let you know that now.
I'm going Wendy's.
Clean sweep.
All right. Our championship game. Social media champion will be decided on April 6th. Wendy's taking on Buffalo Wild Wings. Who do you got, gentlemen, for your social media engagement champion?
Love you, Wendy's. Love you, Wendy. Love you to death. But I got to go Buffalo Wild Wings.
I'm going with Wendy's. It's almost lunchtime.
Wow,
it's on
George.
My brain.
Here we go. The winner.
Sussmania.
The winner of March and Sanity in our estimation here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yay! Oh. Buffalo Wild Wings. Send us some wings.
What's coming up next on the OGs?
OGs of Fantasy. We're going to wrap up our closer talk from yesterday. Oh, Matt, you hanging out today, right? That's right. Matt Madika hangs out today, so we'll wrap up the closer talk. Maybe get into a little football talk. Maybe preview a little tout wars. I don't know. We're going to kick it. We're going to open up the phone lines and get things rocking and rolling.
All right. There you have it. When we come back, it'll be the OGs. For Matty Modica, Corey Parson, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a wonderful rest of your Thursday. Enjoy the NCAA tournament. We'll see you right back here tomorrow. 8 a.m. Eastern, Real Experts in the Morning. Bye-bye.